In recent years, the small Gulf state of Qatar has developed a large reputation as a regional peacemaker. On Wednesday, the state carrier, Qatar Airways, signed a $96 billion deal with Boeing for up to 210 new wide-body jets. That's good news for a flagship American company struggling to right itself after high-profile safety failures, worker strikes, and leadership struggles. The benefits of the agreement may be more than economic. As Mary Crossan, a professor at the Ivy Business School, wrote in Forbes last year about Boeing's troubles, leadership failures often result from weaknesses of character more so than competence. Boeing's opportunity to build more planes may be an opportunity to lift its governing culture, too. It's Thursday, May 15th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Gaza faces a heightened risk of famine. United Nations aid officials said that a quarter of Gaza's population is at risk of famine. The UN's top humanitarian official blasted Israel for deliberately and unashamedly imposing inhumane conditions on Palestinians. The remarks from Tom Fletcher on May 13th marked the strongest condemnation by a high-ranking UN official of Israel's war in Gaza since the start of the conflict. Food supplies are currently warehoused in nearby Israel, Egypt, and Jordan. A federal judge on Wednesday ordered that detained Georgetown student Khan Suri be released from immigration detention. The student was arrested March 17th outside his apartment in Arlington, Virginia. Officials said his visa was revoked because of his social media posts and his wife's connection to Gaza as a Palestinian American. They accused him of supporting Hamas. U.S. District Judge Patricia Tolliver Giles said she was releasing Mr. Suri because he had substantial constitutional claims against the Trump administration. Gavin Newsom retreats on immigration benefits. Under the California governor's budget proposal, low-income, unauthorized adults will not be able to apply for health benefits starting next year. If approved, it would mark a significant reversal in California's embrace of immigrants without legal status. It would also align the Democrat, a potential presidential candidate, with the president. The plan contradicts the view that health care for all poor people is moral and cost-effective. Still, the state is facing a budget crunch, so he's pausing this provision of California's version of Medicaid. Drug overdose deaths in the U.S. continue to drop. There were 30,000 fewer overdose deaths in 2024 than the year before, according to provisional data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released Wednesday. An estimated 80,000 people died from overdoses last year, a 27% drop from 110,000 in 2023. Carla Hayden was named 2025 Penn Faulkner Literary Champion. Dr. Hayden was fired by President Donald Trump as Librarian of Congress with a year left in her 10-year term. The White House cited concerning things she had done in pursuit of DEI. The library called Capitol Police and refused entry to the president's appointees until Congress acts. Dr. Hayden was chosen for the award last year for her lifetime of literary advocacy. A ceremony is set for Thursday. She has been a devoted advocate to making sure that all of us get to enjoy the fruits of a literary life, said Gwynion Sullivan, executive director of the Penn Faulkner Foundation. Now, today's Monitor Stories. The absence of major military breakthroughs by either side in the war in Ukraine mirrors the impasse in attempts to end the conflict through diplomacy. Since invading its neighbor more than 3 years ago, Russia has inched closer to its goal of controlling the Donbass region with its coal mines and steel plants. Ukraine is in no position to mount major counteroffensives. But its military commanders are determined to hold defensive lines and claw back territory where they can. A view from the front lines. Dominik Sogel reports from west of Pokrovsk, Ukraine, for the Monitor. A projected decline in college-age students threatens to shrink college programs and strain university budgets. At the same time, rising tuition and expenses have made affordability a key issue for students and families. In response, tuition-free models and income-based plans are becoming more common, not just as a financial aid solution, but also as a strategy to stay competitive and attract lower-income and first-generation students. Troy Aiden Sabahan reports from Boston, and iReporter reports from Austin, Texas, for the Monitor. When voters in the United States re-elected Donald Trump president, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was among the first to celebrate. But as the American leader visits the Middle East this week, Israel is notably missing from his itinerary. Comments from members and supporters of the country's governing coalition indicate they feel abandoned by the very figure they championed. Dina Kraft reports from Tel Aviv, Israel, for the Monitor. Turkey is hosting likely talks between Moscow and Washington Thursday. The prospect of peace with Ukraine has encouraged hopes in Russia that ending the war might result in the lifting of Western sanctions. But those punishing measures have had an unintended consequence. In recent years, Russia has reshaped its economy, rerouting supply chains to friendly countries and investing in domestic manufacturing. A resumption of trade dependency with the West, some officials say, would undermine Russia's hard-won self-sufficiency. Fred Weir reports from Moscow for the Monitor. For years, the Los Angeles County Jail has been known as the United States' largest mental health institution. An astonishing 5,901 people, nearly half of its population, struggle with mental health issues. But the facility is tapping an important resource to address the problem: the incarcerated individuals themselves. Training incarcerated people to serve as mental health assistants, California officials have found, increases self-esteem and social skills and has resulted in reduced crisis hospitalizations. The peer-to-peer program is becoming a state and national model. Francine Kiefer reports from Los Angeles for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on sovereignty for Colombia's indigenous people. Like much of Latin America, Colombia confronts severe challenges. Yet in recent years, it has somehow managed to carve out pathways to a more inclusive society. Its landmark 2016 peace accord, for example, ended a half century of civil war with a rebel group. Now the country is in the vanguard again. Last week, it gave indigenous groups the right to autonomous administration, granting them governing powers akin to those of a municipal authority. This puts Colombia in the lead when it comes to recognizing indigenous rights, not just to land, but to identity, autonomy, and decision-making over their own development, said activist Mayu Velasco Anderson, as reported by the Associated Press. Around the world, indigenous groups manage millions of acres in about 40 countries. often, title to land is not formalized. And for all other issues, health, education, sanitation, they often rely on government help, which undermines autonomy. For Colombia, the journey to expanded indigenous authority began under former President Juan Manuel Santos, who won the 2016 Nobel Peace Prize. He called for environmental integrity, a view growing from his contacts with indigenous leaders. They encouraged him to make peace with rebel groups and make peace with nature, he recalled in a 2022 University of Notre Dame talk. Peacemaking, Mr. Santos said, isn't easy. Peacebuilding is even harder. It's reconciliation, it's healing the wounds, it's repairing the victims. One could say Colombia is engaged in environmental peacebuilding, reconciling economic imperatives with a considered use of natural resources. Last October, the government of current President Gustavo Petro, himself a former rebel, recognized indigenous peoples' environmental authority over ecosystems, including land, forests, and rivers. Now, they have budgetary administrative powers in all other aspects of local government. This autonomy bodes well for Colombia's Amazon rainforest territories. Research consistently shows that indigenous managed lands have better climate outcomes than lands managed by other entities, the Stanford Social Innovation Review noted. Indigenous-led approaches, it says, are not only just, they're highly effective. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how faith that good is happening, even if we can't see it, opens thought to a deeper understanding of God's infinite goodness, which heals. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone and Nate Eigelhart.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.